You're listening to Proven Perspectives, a podcast with John Hawkins, the founder of Leadership Edge Incorporated. I'm Laura, John's daughter, and in each episode, we will explore a topic related to life, leadership, or mentoring. Through nearly 50 years of faith in Christ, John has learned proven life and leadership perspectives that will equip listeners for a lifestyle of leadership in their marriages, families, careers, communities, and churches.
Hey, Laura, it is good to hear your voice. How are you?
I am good. And Dad, I have a story. I have a story that I just have to get out into the internet.
Oh, what is it?
Can you guess?
I have no idea.
Okay. So, as you know, this is for our listeners. You and Mom have been visiting us for a couple of days.
Yep.
And so, last night... you and I and some of the kids were sitting on the couch and you were reading a book. Is this okay?
This is great.
Okay. And so Shelby, our five-year-old, so you were reading with Barrett, and Shelby kind of snuggles up next to me and whispers in my ear, and she had to say it a few times before I got on to what she was saying. She said, "Papa wears the same clothes every day." So if for any of you who know my dad, you can imagine exactly what she's talking about. The brown loafers, check, jeans, check. Well, or sometimes slacks. I guess that's where you mix it up.
That's right. I get edgy with the slacks.
But, and then, you know, a collared shirt underneath a sweater. So
that is Papa's attire. Yes.
Oh, man. That was so funny. Anyways, just had to toss that out there. Yep. Okay. So
now that we've finished talking about my dress for the day, we'll move on to bigger and better stuff.
Okay. Okay. Here we go. So today we are talking, finishing our series about the Leadership Edge personal vision statement. And so we've been going clause by clause through it. So before we start our topic for today, which is for His glory, Dad, would you share the entire vision statement with us?
You bet.
Okay.
The Leadership Edge personal vision statement is, by God's grace, to step forward as God's man or woman in my spheres of influence, to serve His purposes for His glory.
Awesome. Okay. Great. So today we're talking about the clause for His glory. So, Dad, tell me a little bit more about that phrase and how you came to see that as an important part of the personal vision statement.
Well, it's interesting. So much of what I know about God's glory, I learned, you know, from the Bible, but apart from the Bible, I learned from the life and ministry of John Piper. And so as we were getting ready to do this recording, I did a quick internet search on kind of John Piper and God's glory. And it's interesting, when I got to something he had written about it in the last several years, he says at the very beginning that, let's see, he says, defining the glory of God is impossible. So I'm like,
well, if it's impossible for John Piper.
Yeah, that's right. What's John Hawkins going to say? So he says, defining the glory of God is impossible, I say, because it is more like the word beauty than the word basketball. And I think what he's getting at is, it's easy to describe kind of a discrete structure like a basketball or a rock or a house. Very much more difficult to define something like beauty, or even further than that, God's glory. But in terms of why do we end the vision statement with this? I think one of the reasons is because I've come to understand in my faith that the ultimate purpose is God's glory. That is the ultimate purpose of our lives, of creation, of everything, is to comprehend and to live for the glory of God. You know, even Jesus, and you know, the simple prayer that he gave us, what we call the Lord's Prayer, it begins with, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." This idea of hallowing or giving glory to the name of God. And so when you think about the personal vision statement, you know, we're kind of humming along, by God's grace to step forward as God's man or woman in my spheres of influence to serve his purposes. And if you just ended with "to serve his purposes," then the last kind of unspoken phrase could be, "because I'm such a great guy," or "because I'm such a sincere Christian," or "because I just like to do nice things for God and for others." And I think that if you don't end it with "for his glory," then it's like you're lost. It's right, like every other part's right, by God's grace, for as God's man or woman in my spheres of influence serve his purposes, but you don't know why. You're lost, and it's awfully easy to then turn it into yourself, and it's because I'm such a nice guy, or I'm such a sincere Christian, or those kind of things, and miss the whole point. And so I just came to believe that if we don't, in a sense, found it at the end in the glory of God, we will have stated and lived for some very right things and yet completely misunderstood the purpose and eventually turn it into ourselves. That's where we come with it.
Yeah, that's so good, Dad. Well, and in the personal vision statement document, which we'll link to in our show notes, but there are, I think, three or four, several really good verses about God's glory. And so the big thing that I took away from reading those verses was just this idea that, like what you're already saying, is that in everything, you know, like in the mercy that God shows us, in our suffering, in our gifts and abilities, in every circumstance of life, like it's all for the sake of God's glory. And I think one passage, and this is like a really powerful passage and also one that's a little bit like challenging. It's Isaiah 48, 9 through 11. It says, "For my own name's sake, I delay my wrath. For the sake of my praise, I hold it back from you, so as not to destroy you completely. See, I have refined you, though not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, I do this. How can I let myself be defamed? I will not yield my glory to another." So, you know, I mean, some of this kind of goes countercultural for, like you said this in the last episode, but some of these things we're talking about don't really jibe very well with American culture. So I guess a big question is, why is God's glory the ultimate purpose?
Why is it? And I think the simple answer is because it is. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is, as we were talking about in the last episode, we keep sort of man-centering everything. But when we come to faith in God, it's not man-centered at all. It's God-centered. And when we realize it is the goodness of God, the holiness and righteousness of God, that is the center of everything, then we have to realize this isn't about me primarily. And you know, when John Piper finally gets around to defining what he understands a definition for the glory of God to be, he says the glory of God is the infinite beauty and greatness of God's manifold perfections. So God's glory is the infinite beauty and the greatness of his manifold perfections. And that is true whether we agree with it or not, whether we experience or perceive it or not. It is true. That is the glory of God. It's his infinite beauty. It's the greatness of his manifold perfections. And so the reason that God's glory is the ultimate purpose is just because it is, and nothing else can be. It's what God has established by who He is. And the reason I like this Isaiah 48, 9 through 11 is you read this and you can only come to one of two conclusions. Okay. Either God is a cosmic egomaniac, or He is that to which we are to worship.
Yeah.
Because just read this again. For my own name's sake, I delay my wrath. So it's not because I love you particularly, though He loves us infinitely.
Yeah.
But the core reason He delays His wrath is for His name's sake. For the sake of my praise, I hold it back from you, so as not to destroy you completely. See, I have refined you, though not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction for my own sake. For my own sake, I do this. And again, He's either a cosmic egomaniac that is just crazy.
Yeah.
Or He's the God that's to be worshipped. How can I let myself be defamed? He says, I will not yield my glory to another. And so it's the end of the vision statement, and it's the core purpose of life, because it is, because this is who God is, and this is how He has established the world. And I think it's important for us to wrestle with this, because usually it ends up to where either our lives are lived for the glory and honor of God, or in some form or another, they're lived for our own glory and honor. And I think that when they're lived for God's glory and honor, that is befitting both to God and to us, meaning that it elevates us and it fulfills us to worship Him, to live for Him. We're better when we do that. But on the other hand, if it's for our glory and honor, we can't handle that. We're not made for that. It's misappropriated, and it will eventually destroy us, because no creature, no creation, no mortal is made for that.
Yeah, wow, that's good, Dad. So, I mean, what I hear you saying in several different ways is basically that that our lives and the purpose of even God's creation of the universe is for His glory. And so if we're living for His glory, we can't simultaneously be living for our glory. Like it can't be both.
It cannot be both. It is. Uh-huh. And you know, as one of my mentors used to say, we tend to want to live out our faith to where we put in a few licks for Jesus and we put in a few licks for ourselves. and yet Jesus says no one can have two masters.
Yeah.
That it'll either serve the one and hate the other, or love the one and despise the other. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't have two masters.
Yeah.
So when we decided with the personal vision statement to end it with for his glory, it's like when I came to realize that, it really felt like the last piece is in place. Meaning, if we hadn't had this piece for His glory, none of the rest of it would have really fully worked as it should have. But by having for His glory as kind of the culmination, the purpose of it, then it all works, it all fits, it all makes sense, it all holds together, it all gives the guidance that a personal vision statement would need to give to someone.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, so when you were talking about those verses, the Isaiah 48 passage, I think this is when you said this, but you said something about how it is for it's for our good, or it's for our best, that this is how God designed it. And so I believe you, like, I agree that's true, but I guess I want to understand more, like why? Because why is it for our good that, you know, God is motivated, even though he does really love us, he's not, his primary motivation is for his own glory, not his love for us, you said, even though he does deeply love us. So why is that good news? And also, why is it for our good for us to live for God's purposes instead of, or for God's glory instead of our own glory?
Yeah. You know, I think that John Piper, again, just really gets at this. I'm gonna read actually a couple of paragraphs here, and it's just classic John Piper, but also classic biblical explanation of the glory of God. Piper starts with this. He says, "And the Bible says, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.'" Like, the whole earth is full of his glory. Isaiah 6:3. And then he says, "If you had eyes to see in this room, you would see the glory of God everywhere." And what he's getting back to is the whole earth is full of his glory. We need eyes. We need eyes more than we need anything. "The God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the knowledge of the glory of Christ in the gospel." And so then Piper goes on, and Lord, this gets at what you're asking. He says, okay, "So I ask, do you see it? Do you love it?" And he says, "You were made for this. Deep down in your heart, if you are a totally disinterested person sitting there tonight, just eager for the service to be over, there will come a day, I hope tonight, when enough of the crust is scraped off that you will say, 'I am made for this. This is why I exist, to see his glory.' Everything is pointing to that. All the glory that I thought was so attractive is going there. This is all husk and ashes. He was right. The Bible was right. Jesus was right." Huh. And I think that what Piper's getting at is there is no more of a personal fulfillment that comes in life than when we grasp the reality and rightness and holiness of the glory of God. Huh. And we see, this is what I was made for. Yeah. This is what God has created me to experience. This is what God is drawing me to. I think that's why we are better. We are better, in a sense, experiencing that which God's called us to experience in this life as we experience his glory, who he is.
Yeah. So what I hear you saying is that true fulfillment and peace and, you know, joy really lie in us living life God's way for God's glory. And that's where, like, only as we live in the way that he designed us to live that we'll ever really be at peace and experience the joy that he intended us to live with. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think that's pretty close. I think
you can say if that's not it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think what we're saying here is the glory of God is the most important thing because it is, period.
Uh-huh.
And as his creatures, we are most elevated, we are most fulfilled, we reach the most meaningful experience when we get those glimpses of the goodness and glory and holiness of God.
Huh.
And it permeates our soul, and we know, this is what I'm here for, to know him and to live for his glory and honor.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. So, Dad, what happens, I guess maybe another way of getting at kind of the same big idea, but what happens when we're living for some other purpose? Or for some, like, you know, for our own glory?
Well, what happens when we're living for our own glory is we either are disappointed because we don't get it, or we're manipulative in order to get it, you know, or we just become egomaniacs where we think that the whole purpose of life is for me to be fulfilled, for me to get what I want in a way that exalts me, that exonerates me, that puts me forward. Mm-hmm. And again, no mortal is meant for that or made for that, nor can any mortal handle that.
Mm-hmm.
It will destroy us.
Yeah.
And additionally, disappoint us and really mess up some of the key, most important relationships that we have in this life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, I'm thinking about when I'm living for my own glory, you know, and trying to, when I'm really focused on my own goals and when I'm just, you know, constantly trying to do more and be better, that's a really, it's just like a hamster wheel, you know, like it's yeah. never enough. It's never satisfying. And I think one thing, like every week as we've done this series and you're tying it back to our focus being on God instead of ourselves, I mean, one, this is right because, kind of like you just said, it's right to do it because it's how God designed us and it's what he wants, you know? But also, mm-hmm. like, one of the byproducts is there's just so much more peace and so much more freedom when, mm-hmm. you know, we can be at peace with, okay, God, like, to the best of my understanding, I'm trying to honor you and live for your purposes, and I can be at rest knowing that, like, through my life, you are receiving glory. Really, whether I agree with it or not, you know, yes. like, with or without my permission, that's what you're doing. But there is, you know, just the byproduct of peace and freedom when we're doing what, when we're living for God's glory.
Yes, and it's also, you know, we are to live for his glory, exactly, but also it's right to just pray and ask him to help us to see his glory.
Huh.
You know, if the word is true that the whole earth is filled with his glory, then it is very much a right thing of, God, help me to see that. Help me to see that now. Help me to see that in this room, in all of creation, there is your glory there somehow, some way.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good.
Because again, that lifts it from just thinking of his glory in terms of my actions being for his glory, which is important, but also gets apart from my actions. God, help me to see it. Help me to see the glory of God. I think that Janet and I, one of the interesting parts of our marriage is she really loves the water and I really love the mountains. And I think that with both of us, it's because in each of those places, we are especially able to easily see the glory of God, to where she looks at expanses of water. Somehow that just, it just lifts her to see this is the glory of God here.
Uh-huh.
And when I'm in some beautiful mountain setting, you know, and I think about it, I lift up my eyes to the hills, you know, as the psalmist says, you know, that helps me to see the glory of God. But I think it's good for us to long for that and to ask God to see it and to see it in simple ways. And Laura, I think one of the things I think you're really good at is seeing the glory of God in the simple things of your children. And just the way that you just delight in the little, sometimes even funny or quirky things that they do. Uh-huh. That you just delight in, and therein is the glory of God also. Yeah.
Yeah, that's neat. Yeah, well, and I loved what you said about praying and asking God to help us to see his glory. That's really good. So, and I think that the next thing I'm going to ask you kind of connects to that. So you may have already answered. This may be your answer to that. But, you know, I guess everything that you're saying, everything that we're talking about, like, I believe that that is right and true. And yet, I mean, you know this. One of my big challenges is I want people to think highly of me.
Yeah.
And I oftentimes seek my own glory. And so with what you're saying, you know, it can't be both. It can't be my glory and God's glory. I guess, how do we, when we're off track, get back on track? You know, how do we come to, when we come to the realization that, you know, I'm motivated by a desire for my glory and not God's, then what? How do I get to a place of really seeking His glory?
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, it's kind of like, it's kind of similar in the Old Testament during the Exodus, where the people of God, every day, God gave them manna, and He would give them enough for each day. And if they tried to collect more than they needed for the day, it would just kind of rot and just kind of, you know, become a stench to them.
Huh.
And I think that's what it's like when we try to grasp glory for ourselves, is after a while, it's just going to rot. We're just going to realize this is not good. And that is the moment of repentance for us.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I think that, you know, I had an interesting thing happen. I mean, maybe we'll close with this story, but, you know, a number of years ago, I was sitting in our home in Fort Worth when we lived there, and you and Janet and Gary and Will were gone somewhere. I was there by myself, and the phone rang, and I answered it, and it was a dear friend who at that time was a campus minister in Pennsylvania, and he was calling, so I was like, you know, how are things going? And he's fine, and his wife, I knew, was about to have their first child, and so I said, so has she had the baby yet? And he says, yeah, just I think maybe last night I had the baby. And so we're talking about the baby, and he said, guess what, we named him. And I'm like, I have no idea, you know, what. And so he said, well, his first name is Andrew, and his middle name is Hawkins. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, I don't think that's funny. I know that that's not the child's middle name. What is his middle name, really? And he said, we named him Hawkins. He's named after you. And again, I was just like, I don't know why you're doing this, but you know, tell me. And finally, he said, John, we named the child after you.
This is not how he pictured the conversation.
And so I was just dumbfounded.
Yeah.
You know? And
can imagine.
Yeah, I'm like arguing when he's trying to tell me something really deep and personal, but I said, gosh, I don't know what to say to you. I said, the only thing I know to say is I'll try to live a life that is a good example for your son to follow. And other than that, I'm just dumbstruck. And so we wrapped up the phone call, hung up. I can still remember Laura going in our living room. I can remember the chair and where the chair was sitting in the living room. And I remember saying to God, you know, God, when I came to faith in Christ, when you called me to yourself, my life was such a mess that no one in their right mind would have named their dog after me, much less their first son after me.
Yeah.
And so I said, and now, God, this has happened. And so, you know, Laura, I'm not particularly of a charismatic persuasion, but I just lifted my hands up to God in the living room. And I said, I just lift this up to you, because God, if I hold this to myself, it will be wrong. And it will not be right. But I just lift this up to you, and I say, God, this is of you, that this man and his wife felt that it was appropriate to name their son after me. This is a tribute to you. This is glory and honor to you. And Laura, I think that's one of those moments where I got it right, in the sense that if I'd held that to myself and sort of wanted to tuck that away as, well, this says what a great person
yeah,
I
like
am
validates.
Or something,
uh-huh.
it would have rotted.
Uh-huh.
It would have stenched. It would have been horrible. But the right thing to do in that moment was to lift it up to God and say, this is to you. This is of you. This is for your glory and honor. I think that's maybe when we And those moments when we have it right, it kind of looks like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Well, thanks, Dad. It's always great to get to talk to you about this stuff. I think my takeaway for today, I guess there's a couple. One is just what you said, that it can't be both. So,
yep.
I'm going to, you know, if I'm living for God's glory, that means I am not living for my glory. And then the other thing was just what you said about how we just need to be praying and asking God to help us to see His glory. And that's something I want to try to do today and tomorrow and hopefully make a habit. So thanks for sharing those.
Oh, it's great to do these things with you, Laura, and I hope they're of benefit to those who listen.
Yeah, me too. Well, and thank you, listeners, for joining us, and we will be back soon with another series. All right.
Listeners, if you would like to find out more about John's thoughts on life, leadership, and mentoring, please go to the Leadership Edge website at www.lead-edge.com. Or if you have questions or ideas of topics for future podcasts, please reach out to us at lai@lead-edge.com. We look forward to hearing from you.